A Maundy Thursday Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on March 23, 1989, in the series Freedom, Costly and Conflicted, entitled Freedom's Cost and Foundation, Thy Will Be Done. The reading for the sermon comes from the St. Matthew's Passion of Our Lord. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
One cannot follow the passion pilgrimage of Jesus as we have done in these weeks without being impressed with the magnificent freedom with which Jesus lived. Finally, riding into Jerusalem itself and claiming the temple of his Father in God's name and proclaiming there the kingdom of God, the reign of God. The freedom with which he lived brought him inevitably to a confrontation with vested powers. And now we see him, this same Jesus, but it seems as though everything has changed. For the evangelists tell us that Jesus expressed total desolation, the wrenching of his soul, the deepest possible anguish of the human spirit. See him as he says to his closest disciples, "My heart is almost breaking." See him reach out in that pathetic cry for help from his disciples as he says, "Stay here, pray with me." See him prostrate himself on the ground and hear his words, "My Father, Abba, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Is it going to end this way?" Is that magnificent march in freedom going to end here in the anguish and the darkness of the garden? Will the vision finally fade? Will courage crumble? Will Jesus throw in the towel and give it up? But no. For his next words are, "Nevertheless, not my will, but as thou wilt." And in his final winning through to the yielding of himself to the will of God, Jesus secured his freedom. Not the end, but the crisis moment faced and won through. "Not my will, but thy will be done." Reflect on that for a moment, because it seems to run so contrary to everything we think about when we think about the affirming of our will or the yielding to the will of God. Philosophy books, theology books, are replete with discussions, with the ancient debate of the relationship of the will of God to human freedom. And that old theological conundrum has dogged the steps of the church. Sometimes, many times, in the preserving of God's predestinating decree, losing sight of human freedom. And at other times, as an affirmation of human freedom, the denial of the will of God. Because the will of God and human will have so often been viewed as competitors, as though you have to carve the pie up. And the bigger the slice denoted will of God, the smaller the slice human will, and vice versa. And the debate has raged. And there is something, it seems, almost intrinsic in the human person that views will of God as threat, as limitation. How strange in our debates that we have not simply held this scene before us. Watched Jesus. Listened to him pray. To realize that the winning through to final freedom is the yielding up of one's will to the will of God. No doubt what the hymn writer meant when he wrote, "Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free." No, this was not the end of the vision. This was the crisis won through as Jesus made the supreme exercise of freedom in yielding himself to the will of God. It was a costly choice. Jesus is pictured in the Gospels not with the serenity with which in subsequent generations martyrs marched to their death in Jesus' name. Jesus is portrayed in the anguish of a genuine human struggle. My heart is ready to break. I suppose he could well have rationalized. After all, who could be sure that the disciples had been discipled long enough? Could not Jesus well have rationalized that they needed him yet a bit longer? Could he not have rationalized in those moments that perhaps a little longer in Jerusalem? Don't you suppose that he might have thought that certainly there would have been some sign from heaven? And perhaps if he waited just a bit longer, God would show God's hand? I wonder if it ever went through his mind that he might have been wrong. The faith, commitment of Jesus in those moments must have been exercised out of the crucible of human suffering, which involved its portion of doubt. It was a costly choice because Jesus had to choose whether to sustain his life and yield his vision or yield his life and be true to his vision. Kind of costly, conflictual situation that we find ourselves in often. To be true, no matter what the cost, or to shade the truth, to avoid the cost, which is the costliest decision of all, for it is finally then the betrayal of oneself. Jesus counted the cost and made the supreme exercise of his freedom in yielding himself to the will of God. It was a conflicted choice. It was a choice made in the most severe human conflict. And yet, not as we so often superficially would think. The conflict was not between Jesus and God. The conflict was between Jesus and Jesus. That's the rub. This was not a struggle between Jesus and his heavenly Father. This was a struggle between the Jesus that would preserve his life and the Jesus who would remain true to his truth, to the vision, to the claim and the call of God. There it was. The war raged within the soul of Jesus, not in its depth or to its extent, but in similar fashion. We understand that conflict. To be true to oneself, to stay with one's truth, to live by one's vision, or to preserve oneself, seeking to avoid the cost and losing one's life in the bargain. To affirm the will of God is not the denial of human freedom, but the fullest expression of human freedom. It was when Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done," that Jesus was finally free. The conflict within himself, a very real conflict. "My Father, all things are possible with you. Let this cup pass from me." He did not come to die. He did not want to die. He trembled before the reality of crucifixion. There was one thing, one supreme matter that even the fear and trembling could not dislodge. And that was his determination to be free in fully following the will of God. And of course, that is not possible except God is known and loved with the nuances of Abba. Not a cold and personal deity. Not some mechanistic divine fate grinding on its way. This was not some heroic, stoic clenching of the teeth, clenching of the fist, finally saying against all odds and opposition, I will. This was Jesus saying, Papa, the prayer was not the foxhole tactic, so true, so often, of so many of us. The cry in the moment of panic. It was rather the pattern of his life. For throughout that ministry, with its sterling freedom, there was constant communion. So that finally, in the intimacy of trust rooted in God, in the intimacy of communion, in the burning love for God and vision of God's gracious reign, there were sufficient resources to make one last gasp of freedom, saying, Thy will be done. Well, we have all made promises. We have all had those moments, not Gethsemane's, but still our moments. And we have all made promises. Tonight we can renew our promises with the bread and with the wine. We have all had hearts moved, wills malleable, love aflame, when we have said, Father, Thy will be done. Tonight, with the bread and with the wine, take it anew and make the promise new. And in the conflict, at whatever cost, find the grace to be free, to say, Thy will be done. Do whatever you have to do, but make me what you want me to be. For that is to be free. Thanks be to God.